broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And we got a great baseball weekend to look at, okay? But we also have to eulogize the Houston Rockets as their season is over after one of the worst. Well, I will say this. I was there on Friday night.
No, you were.
And I was close to the court. I was close, not like
Justin
Yanni
Seats.
Close. Yeah, Justin Seats. Mm-hmm. And I said this because we were, okay, let's wait to bet the Rockets until, you know, they started out, I think it's 3.5-point favorites. And we were like, let's wait until they get down. And they got down.
Oh, live betting.
And they got down big. And that's when I live bet them in game three. I had them at 3-1, and then they blew it with, 30 seconds left and up six. But I said, let's wait. And when we got to the point where they were down, I don't know, 15 or 17 in the second quarter, I was like, nah, this is different. The Lakers were overplaying everything. The Lakers had the most energy that I had seen, because I went to game one. I went to game three, and I went to game six.
Oh, wow, you did. That's right. You went to L.A., too.
Yeah, I went to L.A., too. And I was like, this is totally...
Wait. You lost. You were 0-3.
I was 0-3.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my fault I was 0-3. Game three, they should... That was my fault?
Well, it was somebody's fault. It wasn't Kevin Durant's fault.
Well, it had
to be your fault.
Well, Jabari's fault.
And Jabari's.
Or Reed's fault.
Reed did stink.
just the chaotic, frenetic, how I'm telling you, they had an energy that the Rockets just weren't even close to. And I said, I ain't doing it tonight, because there ain't no way they're coming back from this. Right. There ain't. The Lakers played. You know what? All of that talk about this is going back to L.A., and maybe this will be the first time that a team would. I know Big Perk had the Rockets winning the series now. I'm sure they were looking at all of that, and they went, no way. This ain't happening here. This ain't happening now. And they played with an attitude and an energy that the Rockets simply did never matched. All right? Game three, the Rockets brought it. And game four, the Rockets brought it pretty good. Game six. There was no chance the Rockets had that night. None. Oh. And because they had to put up everything that they put up was hurried. Everything, because they were closing out and they were going over screens. They were doing everything they could to make the Rockets uncomfortable. And it was about as uncomfortable as it could get. 31 freaking points in the first half.
31, and it was so...
And it was. It didn't even seem like they scored that much.
No, it was really...
They were awful.
And they play what's called, John, a read-and-react offense.
I know.
Read-and-react. What you do is you read what the defense is going to do, because what you'll find out is that there's not time to call a bunch of sets. Sometimes you just... You have to have guys who continue to grow and learn the offense and recognize mismatches. And so you learn to...
Mismatch, recognize mismatch.
Yeah, you exactly.
Right.
So you learn to read the situation, and then you react to it.
Yeah.
And you react successfully to it. And that's what 31 points is really doing right there. That's a lot of work. A lot of people score 31 and a quarter pretty frequently.
30 or more.
Big a deal. Yeah,
or
it's not
more.
That big a deal to score 13 and a quarter. I mean, 31 and a quarter, but with this, what we're calling read and react offense, there's been a lot of difference. There's remember you had the run and shoot, some famous offenses.
Yeah.
You ever had the run and shoot? You've had the fun and gun. Remember the fun and gun?
The wishbone?
The wishbone. Yeah. You've had, You've had the Veer offense.
The Smurfs?
You've had this. Well, those were wide receivers. Okay. But yeah.
Yep.
So you had the run and shoot. You've had the spread.
Right.
You had the air raid.
Yeah.
Remember the air raid? Those are some.
Just high flying, highfalutin.
Yeah. You had the, what was it called? The run. No, you had the, what was the Paul Westfalls? What was it called at
At Loyola Marymount?
Loyola Marymount. I'm trying to remember what the name of that was, where they would, basically it just looks like the Celtics now. You just run as fast as you can down the court and shoot.
You had the weave?
Threes. Well, yeah, there's that. There's the weave. You have the motion offense.
You got the six-pass offense in Hoosiers?
Hoosiers, you had six passes. You don't get a shoot until you pass six times. You have motion offense.
Motion?
Which is a lot of Dan Issel. No, Dan Issel played for, whose offense was that? Dennis will play with those Denver teams. But so you've had a lot of offenses over the years that have become
great
famous.
Offenses.
Yeah, yeah. And Air Coryell.
Oh.
Air Coryell was an offense. I don't know. And then, of course, there's specialty pitches, but there's not really a type of. Oh, no. You had, was there a name for it with the Cardinals from 82 where they just did a bunch of. You know, bunting and stealing. And,
oh yeah, they were. Well, they were. Well, it was station to station.
Uh huh.
You can have that kind of offense, station to station.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could have the stoic
gorilla. LSU's gorilla ball. Remember that? With the metal bat, the aluminum bats they called
gorilla ball. Yeah.
In college baseball,
you could have the stoic slowick.
Okay. Offense. I didn't know that had a name.
Well, yeah.
It was stoic slowick.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year.
Was 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Well, the second year was more stoic.
Oh, is that when it was?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, there's all kinds of offenses, but the read and react, what? I mean, it's right up there.
Do we have it? Can we get a little intel on what the read and react is about?
Here is in February now. Now, because we're going back to this.
We ignored all the signs. We didn't realize it had a name.
It had a name. And here is why and how the Rockets have one of the most, well, the most explosive offenses.
Offensive offenses
in the NBA.
We're not the fastest team pace-wise anyway, so I don't want to stop to call plays every miss.
He's busy. He doesn't want to stop the call
speed,
plays.
The speed. From there, you know, it's mainly dead balls and ATOs, you know, free throws and turnovers, things like that. I'll see what I like and call a play there. But I want to get to the level where guys are comfortable, you know, reading a mismatch, finding something to transition out, and those guys probing and then playing off them. So not the one that wants to call a play every time down.
Mm. But we do busy.
On our recognition of mismatches and getting stuff quicker.
I'm busy. I don't have time to be calling plays every time. What are you, crazy? You're coming down the court. Think of it yourself. I'm over here trying to eat a chili dog or something.
Just read and
what
react.
What is he too busy to do during the game
yelling
that he can't
someone?
Call? What?
Yelling at someone?
Oh, my God.
Read and react. By the way, the 82 Cardinals, they did have a name. The speed-oriented, low-power offense was known as Whitey Ball.
What?
Which is the same thing as Iowa's basketball team this year. They were also known as Whitey
Ball. No, their manager was called Whitey. Oh. Whitey Herzog.
Oh, I thought that. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Iowa's men's basketball team's offense was called
Whitey. What about the triangle? We didn't really even talk. You got Triangle's the triangle offense.
Triangle.
Yeah.
Tex Winter's famous triangle.
Greatest show on turf.
Greatest show on turf. There's another one. And now read and react.
And read and react.
And read and react is now in the lexicon.
Right. Don't people lose wars with that, read and reacting? Don't wars? Listen, it's terrible. It is just terrible.
Sun Tzu, actually, there's an entire section of the Sun Tzu's Art of War book that talks about read and react. You're supposed to read and react the landscape of what your opponent is doing. You just read and react, and that's in the Art of War, Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
And Ime Udoka.
Isn't it better to, like, not read and react, but to be more aggressive and actually initiate the pain as opposed to reading and react?
Do you remember Rope-A-Dope? Do you remember that strategy?
Yeah, you remember how beat up he got?
I know. Yeah, he had Parkinson's.
And he also won.
But there's a price to be paid, John.
Yeah, I guess.
The price of the Houston victory in the future is to be pummeled in the first half of this one.
All these players are going to have Parkinson's now. Is that what you're saying?
I think that sometimes they are a little slow
from
with
all
how
the pummeling they took.
They're a little slow with how they deal with things offensively. Yeah. They're slow to read and they're slow to react. Yeah. Well, no, they react fast. They're just not really reacting to anything. They don't really read.
Shouldn't we get some Rosetta Stone? No, that's what was the speed reading?
We'll learn it. That's learning a different. Yeah. Yes.
What was speed?
Rosetta Stone.
Who was the speed reader? What's her name? And she had. Yeah, we need that. Name? We need that. There was a speed reading.
Suzanne Summers.
Wasn't that?
No, that's the Thigh Master.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we need some faster readers.
Good, good. I was in the process of being delayed 7 or 8 times by United Airlines, and they delayed me all the way from 5 p.m. to 10:30 a.m. the next day because they couldn't find our pilot. So that was cool. I missed my son's graduation. Pretty excited about that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was cool. We made it there eventually. Like, oh, I bet it was cool when you were wearing your cap and gown.
I'm going to tell you this. I've been to a few, and you've been to a few.
It's way overrated.
It's way over. Yeah.
It's just saying
it's, you sit there and he finally, after 9,000 other students
Zerline?
Are called. Yeah, he's last. You could have showed up the next day and he'd have been.
No, because they break it down and they have a morning, an afternoon, and an evening, depending on what school you were in and all that stuff. So it was not as long. But my son decided to meet a buzz his hair. We went and bought clippers from... he didn't have time to get a haircut. He goes, just go, let's get clippers. Just buzz it off. Take me to a 2. I'm like, all right. That's when I learned he's got Shane Batty ahead. I didn't know that. Sharpay.
He does?
Well, a little bit on one section. I was like, wait a minute. My son's got Shane Batty ahead?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And because he's got kind of a little peanut head.
Yeah.
And so then he's flying out to he and his friends are taking a trip. And he decided, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to dye my hair. I'm just going to bleach my hair. Not with very dark, thick hair. You're not, because it turns out terrible.
What?
It turns out.
What is wrong with him?
Right before he was taking his trip, and now there's nothing he can do about it. He realized, oh my God, I've made a terrible mistake. You can see the results here.
Oh, that's not great.
That's not
ideal. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I said,
So he's got red hair, but there's patches of black in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's buzzed, and it's patches of black.
It looks terrible.
That is not great.
I just said, send me a picture, because his mom said, oh, my God, I saw a picture of Alex's hair. He said, before I send it, I have a couple of things to say. That's what my son led with. A, Mason was correct, and I should have had someone bleach it since my hair is too thick. B, considering the bleach wasn't super successful, the blotches are pretty random and actually make a decent leopard print. C, I'm definitely still getting it redone on the road. And then we've got Sebastian's. By the time he gets back, we've got Sebastian's graduation. So my wife is freaking out that he's going to look like this when we take family pictures when Sebastian graduates.
That's great.
She goes,
that is awesome.
She told me, Lance, you need to fix this.
What?
I've got 2 jobs. Now my 3rd job is fixing kids' bad mistakes.
Well,
do that.
It's impossible to fix some kids'
bad. I worry about read and react. I don't even have time for this crap. So yeah, we got delayed. I'm at the airport and following the rockets on a phone, getting the doors blown off of them.
It was much worse being there. Trust me.
And one kid who's
you were better off missing planes than being.
Oh
at
no
that
no
city.
No no no! It was that.
That
was
the worst.
That was terrible.
That was the worst.
You never had a shot.
Nope. It was awful.
Like the elimination games of the past against the Lakers.
I'm looking at this, and let's do it. Let's do it on the other side. Houston Rockets final grades, and we'll come up with our own. What did you think? What did you think the Rockets deserved? Final grades for the 2026 season, 25-26 season. 714 ESPN 97.5. We'll do that on the other side. Right now, I am talking about IBEW, all right? The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. It is where you can get your, I mean, you can be great. You're looking to be great. Are you? Do you want to change? If you want to change what you're doing right now, you need the IBEW. Been around for 125 years. The IBEW is ready for you. They work on the grid, okay? And you, while you are learning, you get paid. The IBEW is what a great way. If you're right now, you're stuck. You don't love what you're doing right now. You don't love your career, or you don't have a career, or you're just out of college and you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? The IBEW is here for you. All right. It's the local, union that is going to pay you while you learn. In like 3 to 5 years, you can become full-time. You got all the insurance. You got everything that you could possibly. It is the best way for you to go about this thing and to get a career. 4345 Allen Genoa Road in Pasadena, IBEW66.com. What are you doing with your life, or what are your kids doing with their life, or nephew or niece, or someone that you know that needs to change their life? This is a huge career changer. IBEW Local 66, powering careers, powering the future. IBEW66.com.
To John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I got to say, we'll do this in a little bit because I saw one of the greatest sports performances of my life, on Saturday.
Oh, not Friday?
Saturday. Not Friday, per se. Okay, not Friday. All right, let's do grades. Del, you jump in on this. What grade do you give Kevin Durant this year?
B minus.
I give him an A. It would have been more if he had played in the
A plus. You would have given him A plus.
I would have given him.
Thought he had that big an
possibly
impact
an A plus. I thought he didn't make NBA second team, right? He didn't make it. Chet made
it. An A plus for the team. I thought he was great.
I thought he did. He was everything that they wanted. I wish he would have.
He didn't.
They would have
finished in the fourth quarter. They gave away a lot of fourth quarter leads.
Else's grade, not his.
I know, but he was there to finish games off, and he sat passively a lot of times in the half courts.
Well,
like I didn't think he actually stepped up and finished games.
Oh,
I thought he stepped up,
and I thought he did a great job.
He scored
with other guys underperforming the way they did this year. I thought Kevin Durant.
I changed it. I'm going to go C.
Del, what kind of grade did you give Kevin Durant this year?
I think, considering the amount that they put on him because of, as you mentioned, guys either not stepping up or the injury to apparently the best point guard to ever exist in Fred VanVleet, I'm going to go with an A for him.
I had an A too.
B minus.
I thought he was great. It may move to B plus because of the burner.
Yeah. It's not a burner. It was just a leaked text message.
Yeah, a text message. Yeah. A text stream. Mm-hmm. A text stream. Amen Thompson.
B.
I'll go with B. I like B.
I don't love B. I wanted a B plus or A minus. Frankly, I was expecting an A minus to A this year. So B is a little bit of a disappointment for me. Kevin Durant's grade is a disappointment. Amen Thompson's grade is a disappointment for me.
Amen was not a disappointment for me at all. I thought Amen played pretty damn well. His shot, he just doesn't have an outside shot.
So let me position.
He still played defensively. He was really, really good.
Did Kevin Durant do everything that you were expecting him to do?
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
I didn't think he closed games. I was expecting him to be better. And
at the beginning of the season, Alpe started taking over at the end of the game.
I just thought, Kevin Durant lost the game with missed free throws to start the season and then couldn't even finish the season again for the third time in the last 4 years. He didn't provide what I was expecting, which was they were going to win a lot more games in the fourth quarter. They're going to be they're much better half-court offense. The things I was expecting. For Amen Thompson, I expected him to take a jump. I don't think he took a jump this year. So my expectations for those two guys, I thought he was a lot like he was last year. Same guy. I did not see his game get any better offensively. I did not see him grow as a player one single bit. I saw the same thing I saw last year, which is fine. It's fine. It's just I was expecting more of a leap into stardom for him, and I didn't see that. That's why I'm giving him a B.
Okay, so
did he leap into stardom for you?
So,
comment?
So last year, Amen shot 55%. This year, 53%. Last year, 27% from three, but he took, he took about the same, 21%, 21.2%.
He's the same guy was last year.
Yeah. Free throw shooter percentage went way up. Offensive rebounds were slightly up. Defensive slightly down. Rebounds were about the same as last year. Mm-hmm. Assists, he was better this year. He was much better with the ball.
Turnovers higher.
Turnovers were higher. Yeah, he averaged 18 this year as opposed to 14 last year. I thought he was better. And listen, I thought defensively he was still very, very good. He gets a B for me. I thought he had a good season.
I gave him a B.
That's what I gave him.
I gave him a B. I'm saying he didn't. I was expecting A. Like I was expecting him to make a jump. He didn't make a jump.
Okay. Alperin.
B minus. Probably B minus. Another guy who didn't make a jump. He had points. He had rebounds. But a B minus means he's trending in the wrong direction for me.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a C. His defense was atrocious.
It did get worse.
His defense was atrocious this year. He was not he took over games in the fourth quarter when he should have deferred. He was not he averaged one more point this year than he did last year. More turnovers this year. More assists this year, 6.2 to 3.2. He was about a 2-1 guy. His free throw percentage is not good. His three-point shooting went up to 30%, which is
good. Which is below average.
He was atrocious in the beginning of this series, trying to doing anything offensively. And he's just gotten so bad defensively. He can't move his foot movement, everything about it was awful this
year. I would argue he's another one who has not gotten any better.
No.
No better.
No better.
This Rocket team got no better.
I expected a lot more out of him this year. I expected a lot more.
I did too. And, and frankly, I did with...
What I saw this year is he's not a championship center. He's just not.
I am having to having to recalibrate my expectations for his ceiling.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like we're getting close. I'm feeling like this is the ceiling of who he's going to be, but he can become a more efficient version of this. Like, he can get better than this. I don't think he's going to be, like, I think the one thing you can add is that he can become a 33 to 34-point three-point shooter in time. Other than that, this is who he is.
Yeah. Del, what are you...
You didn't get an Amen a grade either.
I think Amen became a better playmaker. The turnovers go up as you continue to have the ball in your hands, and that was placed on him because of no Fred VanVleet. So they asked him to do more, and I think he became a better passer, a guy who could actually be more than a driver. When they spread it out for him, he could actually make some passes. So while the shooting will always be the difference between him becoming a superstar and maybe just a top of the heap role player, which some people feel as a negative, but if he can't be a guy you depend on to shoot, an open jumper, that's going to be a problem for him, but we've talked about that. I think he gets a B-plus for me, considering the added role they put on him without Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
They didn't have many options as far as ball handlers, so he had to take on more of that, and whether he actually is a point guard at some point in his career, we'll see. But I think Amen maybe didn't take a leap, but I think he took a step forward as far as his game. Alpi, I've never been as high as him as some. I think he will top out as a Sabonis-type player. He just isn't athletically gifted enough to do some of the things that you want a star player to do, and unless the shot develops to a point where it is respected, he will be a guy that guys like Luka will wave at derisively when he's sitting on the bench watching him try to make moves. He's a fine player. Look, here's the thing. Alpi was drafted not even in the lottery. So what he's become already, it's actually far exceeding what you would actually reasonably put on a guy who was drafted that high.
Yeah, so, it's still a hit.
And sometimes you just top out. Yeah. There's a reason he was drafted. Now, some guys surpass that. Some teams just miss on guys. But he was top out of the lottery when he was drafted.
Wait a minute. Do you take this performance, what you're getting out of him for a 15th overall pick? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if a two-time All-Star already? Yeah. For that level of a pick?
But this is why where you're picked really doesn't matter. This is why the fussing about Keelan Rutledge and Kay McDonald. Why would they? Keelan, 28, where they could have had him at 33, 38. Because once you're picked, it doesn't matter where you're picked. It's how you're played. And, yeah, if you go back and rewind it to 15th, yeah, that's you. Take this all day. Doesn't matter. Once he's in the building, you set expectations for him.
Yeah, but we do that with Reed. He's a third overall pick, and he sucks.
Yeah, because he hasn't reached expectations. Alpi already reached those expectations, and we reset expectations.
Now, actually, that is the truth. If we would have gotten this out of him, you know, and we didn't know what he was before, we didn't know it, he hasn't taken a step up. He has not gotten any better than he was. And as a matter of fact, he's gotten worse defensively.
For two straight years.
Yeah, for a couple.
This really has shown no real growth. Not really. I mean, look, it's one thing if you get more shots, you're going to score more.
Yeah.
But is he a better? No, you look at his true shooting percent. You look at his offensive efficiency, it's gone down. Alperen Şengün has gone down from an efficiency standpoint.
Well, and again, I think all of this, like Amen's turnovers are up. You don't have a point guard. That's not what he's supposed to do. Yeah, it's Alperen. Is the offense supposed to run through Alperen Şengün?
He could be a hub, but should he be dribbling at the top of the key to get a shot? Because there's no one really available to get him shots.
No one's reacting like they're supposed to.
Well,
in the read and react.
Well, how are they supposed to react? It just turns into a James Harden 1-4 set, only it's not James Harden.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not prime James Harden. It's Alperen Şengün.
Yeah.
Who can do some good things.
Or Kevin Durant.
Yeah, or Kevin Durant, who doesn't like
or
to
reach up.
Kevin Durant doesn't penetrate, so you already know he's going to. There's
That's
a finite.
Exactly what it is, and those guys all failed at it. Yeah. Reed failed at it. Durant failed at it, and so did Alperen Şengün. What about Jabari?
I'm gonna give Jabari a B plus.
He would be. He was solid.
He takes a lot of bullets, and I don't think. I think people are trying to look for someone they want to beat up. I think he is getting better.
I don't know that he improved all that much this year. He actually didn't, but he was good. He averaged almost 16 points a game. He had to take on a little bit heavier role, which was up 3 points from last year, but his percentages are all the same, except free throws down. But he's solid. He was solid.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
You're right.
He's a role player. If you're trying to make Jabari one of the stars of the team, then you ain't going to be a very good team.
His rebounding went down slightly. His assists, like if you look at it just statistically, he's not really doing.
But he was solid.
Yeah, I mean his points went up this
year. And again,
year.
What are your expectations of Jabari Smith? I know he's a third overall pick, but I don't care about that. Like care about that anymore with 15th. We shouldn't care about it anymore with the third.
He's another
overall
one
pick.
Though who hasn't improved greatly from 23-24. Like he and Alperen Şengün, but I feel like he was a better because his 3-point percentage is actually the exact same as 23-24.
Doing it on a little bit more attempts, so
yeah.
So that I guess it might be tough for people to accept that obviously Jalen's no longer here. That you drafted
his numbers are almost the same
in the top five or so the last five at like four times in the last decade, half decade or so. And maybe Amen Thompson is your best bet to become a real star. And you know, one of the more important things of basketball is being able to shoot, and he can't do that. So that might be tough for people to accept that these guys are super role players. I think Amen does have the ability. We'll just have to see what happens going forward. Jabari, you know, he is a guy who was supposed to be, hey, look, Kevin Durant's here. That's a guy who he can mimic his game after, ignoring that Kevin Durant's
Kevin
one of the more
dropped
unique.
An R-bomb on him.
That's fine, but one of the more unique players to ever exist. So asking Jabari to mimic Kevin Durant's a little tough. You know, he could be a guy with on a different team. He's probably averaging 20 points per game.
Oh yeah,
but it's just You've got more. You got better players here than you would be in a normal
react,
spot.
Also, look, we're not about getting more points.
Understood. But if Jabari was the top three pick on a different ball club didn't have the opportunities to draft so many good players, he probably would be averaging 20 points plus per game because he would get more shots up. I don't know how efficiently he'd be doing it. So I don't want to take all his numbers and downgrade him that way. He doesn't get the opportunities other guys would get.
Yep. All right, it's 7:32. We'll finish up. We got Ime and Rafael, and Tari probably will do on the other side. But I'm interested to see what you guys think of Ime and Rafael this year. Right now, though, we've got HRMP to talk about. HRMP, great. We love the people. Everything about what they do for us, about the partnership that we have, and it is a partnership. And I found something else. I mean, they've got. HRMP is all over the world. I mean, not only in every state in this country, but all over the world. You know, it's a local, but we got the advantage of having it right here in the city of Houston. All right. The main office is right there on the Beltway. Beautiful facility that Mike Holly has done. What Mike Holly has done here in the city of Houston is just incredible. But this is a worldwide, they do. All over the world, they do payroll and HR for companies. There's nothing that they haven't seen, nothing that they can't do. And then, you know, there's other tax implications on other countries and everything else. And they just put that into the formula and boom, and they spit it out, and it's great for you. All we are worried about is here in America and what we're doing here and what you're doing here. And if you're somebody that has got a bunch of payroll, I heard somebody, as a matter of fact, we had a party on Thursday night, and they said, yeah, it's starting to become a pain in the ass, our payroll and everything else. We need to restructure and do it differently than we're doing it. Well, that's what HRMP is here for. So if it's starting to become a pain in the ass because you're doing really well business-wise, you need HRMP. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. What did you learn this weekend? In one sentence, is coming up in about 10 minutes. So get yours ready. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Let's go. So get yours ready. And in 10 minutes, we're going to call in and we will have. I've already got mine. I've got mine. And it is something different. So we were giving out grades. Tari, what kind of grade? Quickly, what kind of grade do you give Tari?
I feel like he's a B-. Another one who didn't take a step. In fact, had an absolutely atrocious run there at kind of an important time. So
his field goal percentage was the worst of his career. He was actually better this year, 3-point percentage-wise, but he was just awful for a long stretch. Mm-hmm. And he was great, and then he was awful.
He was great until he was awful.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like awful. At this stage of your career, we shouldn't have awful.
It didn't seem like... Now, how many steals? His steals were down, but it's not just about steals. His blocks were way down. It didn't feel like he was the same terror that he had been in the past defensively.
He didn't feel like he was a twin of terror?
Yeah, he wasn't a twin of terror. I thought the terror twins kind of disappeared this year. It was a little disappointing defensively. Well, they were good defensively, apparently they were really good. I don't know. It just didn't seem like it to me. Seems like teams that wanted to score 136 and 143 off of them did.
Felt like that was happening more.
Tari Dell, I'm gonna give Tari a B-.
He openly admitted after the game that his contract stuff may have played a part in his season. Yeah. He mentioned thinking about it, and he.
But it's not the Rockets' fault.
I don't know.
I mean, they made him an offer. He turned it down, and he let it bother him the rest of the way.
He's a human being. Well, what are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. Young human being who said it may have had an effect on him. Not surprising at all, honestly. Yeah. He probably gets a C+ to me.
Yeah,
from me. I mean, the shooting initially, big surprise. Love that, but I don't know how much else there was. His defense wasn't always up to par. Certainly not the Terra Twin era, if you want to call it that, for maybe last year, the year before. So I would, C+. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't the guy that was talking about himself as a top 100 player before the
year started. No. Yeah, maybe B. B minus, C plus. Okay, I'm good with that. I'm okay. Maybe you're probably right. I'm a better. I'm a nicer
you're
guy.
You're a nicer than you guy. You are.
I'm
a much nicer person. That's acknowledged. Yes.
A nice, much nicer person.
Nice person.
Reed.
C. Do we want to exclude the postseason?
Flat C for me.
Yeah, well, the post. No, you can't exclude the postseason.
Well, I'm wondering if it's too much recency bias. He was better. He was better. C maybe.
He was better this year.
I mean, if I'm giving Alpi a B minus, of course, more was expected.
Well, I thought there was they put too much on his plate. First of all, he's not a point guard, and they made him play the point.
I mean, he was not an elite shooter.
This thing that Amen played the point this year is wrong. It's just flat out wrong. Who was starting the offense? Kevin Durant was starting the offense at the top, or Alpern was starting the offense at the top, or Reed was starting the offense at the top. And very rarely was Amen was just standing there waiting for something to happen.
There's a difference between point guard and sometimes you initiate a player here or there. Yeah, they would spread the floor and let Amen go to work if they thought he had an advantage, but he wasn't setting guys up consistently. They weren't.
No,
they weren't. He wasn't the guy putting guys.
He wasn't
guys,
the creator yeah, like a driving dish
and stuff. He would make. He has the ability when he has an advantage to get into the lane, but he wasn't the consistent. Hey, this is the play. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That wasn't him.
Right. I'm gonna give Reed a C+. I thought he had really good moments, and then he was awful in the postseason. But it was his first postseason.
Yeah, the extremes were probably clouding me a little bit. Yeah. C+, B minus as he was given more. And people certainly beg for. You had your ups and downs where he would do what he did in the final couple minutes against the Lakers in Game 5 was it? Game 5 in LA. And then you have moments over the course of the entire season where
1-10 in his last in the elimination game. He shot in for the series he shot 29% from 3 and 30% from the field.
Yeah.
Which is
not
bad.
Good enough.
That hurt it certainly hurt his grade. If he'd have been a B plus guy.
He flashed with some big flashes, but here's the problem is he's too streaky.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna be a great shooter, you he should just catch shooter. The ball. Yeah. And if you're wide open, it should almost be automatic from three. And it's far from that with him.
Ime.
C.
Yeah, I agree. I think
C. They won 52 again, but it wasn't like big deal anyway. I don't get Durant. I don't give Durant props for that. I don't give Alpi. I don't give any of them. Congratulations. You won 52 again.
I thought he got out-coached terribly by J.J. Redick.
I did, too.
Terribly. He made no adjustments offensively to the double team to Kevin Durant, not only in the postseason, but in the regular season as well.
Who was I reading? I was reading someone who said the problem was the Rockets are so predictable. So what the Lakers, they just rely on switching and matchups. So the Lakers wouldn't switch until a certain time on the shot clock, and then late they would switch late. To make it easier defensively, and the Rockets didn't have enough time to exploit the matchup then. Like, that's coaching.
Yeah.
That's going in and saying, let's do something they're not expecting. And the Rockets just were just trying to read and react.
They read and react.
Yeah, I know.
It's enough of you with no read and react. No love for the read and react. And then Rafael Stone.
I'm going to give – oh, go ahead.
What grade did you give Udoka?
The lack of offensive ingenuity. I'm not sure the players respond specifically to the way he teaches, or you want to say coaches. I mean, he's probably getting a C. It wasn't terrible. The team as he had it isn't the team they thought they were going to have because, once again, Fred VanVleet, very, very important. Steven Adams as well. So, you know, 52 wins, matching what you did last year, it's a C. I mean, I don't know how much improved he was as a coach. I don't know that he has that in him. There is some talk that people believe he needs to hire an offensive guy.
He absolutely does.
Maybe an ex-head coach. That staff, or as much as we love their demeanor about how they want this thing to roll, do we know how much expertise is on that staff?
That doesn't seem like much. All right, finally and quickly, Rafael Stone.
I'm going to give him a C. His job was, you know, Finney Smith. Like, what did he do that was a positive this year to impact?
Finn miss?
He added him. Akogi, to me, was solid. Capella was just meh, but it ended up being important that he added him. So Kevin Durant, give him credit for that. Durant,
the Durant trade,
Durant trade was whatever.
Well, yeah, I think it was
Capella trade. It didn't do anything. It was supposed to do.
Yeah,
the whole job was to get you over the top in the playoffs. Yeah, right. It didn't do it.
Well,
you can say, well, but injury.
I got Rafael. What sitting on your hands when you had the whole season and the trade deadline to do something to help this team, and you did nothing. He gets a D.
Okay.
I thought it was a crime that he did not help this team at all. That he did nothing to help this team when he had a whole and there were plenty of guys out there. Anybody, grab anybody you throw it against the wall and see if it sticks.
You're not a nice person. You just gave the guy who acquired Kevin Durant a D? You're not nicer than me, apparently.
KD? KD?
Yeah, he got a D. He K'd a D. What are you giving him?
He gets a C because the KD thing, you got it at 70% of his actual value to get KD for Dylan and Jalen and that 10th pick back to Phoenix. You'll take that. I will take him a task for not acquiring a real backcourt guy at the deadline or
before.
There's only so many
moves to make.
You see what he's up to, Kobe White. A lot of guys you could have had for not a lot. I mean, maybe some tax implications stopped them from really making a move. Either way, C for him and Dorian Finney-Smith, or Finney-Miss as we want to call him.
Finney-Smith.
Whatever. Finney-Miss is a miss, and it prohibited you from doing other things because of his contract. That hurts.
Yep. All right, we got a break. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It comes when we come back. You learned something this weekend. It doesn't have to be sports related. It could be anything related. Whatever happened to you, you need to tell us at 713-780-3776. But first, Lance needs to tell us about Underdog.
Yeah, it's playoff time. I mean, you know, not for us, but playoffs are still rolling. We had some great game sevens. We had some blowouts in some game sevens, but on to the next one. It's on to the next round, and you can take your Underdog Fantasy app, and even if your season's over as a Rocket fan, your season's not over for basketball. It's definitely not over if you have Underdog Fantasy downloaded on your phone. Download the app today. Use promo code Lance. You're going to get $5 or $50 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 play, but you must use promo code Lance on your first deposit. Here's what you're doing. You're looking at the player stats that are on there. You're going to pick them and the pick challenge, and then you're going to go pick a variety of players. And it's up to you. You can choose 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The more players you pick, the higher your payout's going to be. And you go higher or lower with points or rebounds. How about higher yesterday? 43.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined with Cade Cunningham in a game 7. You just use basketball knowledge saying, okay, best player at home in a big elimination game, he's going to show out. That's a W. That's how I did it. That's how you can do it. Just use your basketball knowledge to go lower or higher and watch the money come in. It's completely legal right here in the state of Texas, and we're talking about real money. It's Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, what did you learn this week in one sentence? 713-780-3776. You learned something. Doesn't have to be about sports. Could be about anything. Mine is about sports and something else. I saw or heard two of the greatest performances ever, semicolon. One was by Golden Tempo in the Kentucky Derby, and the other was by the guy in the room next to mine at the La Quinta Saturday night.
Can't explain. Lance, what have you learned? Go on.
Can't wait for the next segment.
Keep it moving.
Can't wait for the next segment. I learned that if United moves your flight to the next day and you miss your son's graduation, that they give you a $15 meal voucher at 11:30 p.m. At 11:30 p.m. that you can't use because everything's closed.
You made out.
Well, probably goes pretty far in Tuscaloosa.
But you can use it the next day if you happen to go back to the airport.
And he said and, so that counts as one.
I learned that the NBA will fine you if you get in a fight, but then you ask a very incisive question of your combatant. You guys miss what Mitchell Robinson was up to, apparently.
Yes. What was Mitchell Robinson up to?
No, well, we can't talk about that because he had one sentence to tell us, and he did.
He asked an important question of Tyson Daniels.
Let's go to the caller.
Just type his name in, Mitchell Robinson, and you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Mr. Robinson this weekend. Let's go with Ocho. He's first up. Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned that Joel Embiid probably doesn't understand that Madison Square Garden is actually in the East.
Okay. he's asked Philadelphia not to sell their tickets to Knicks fans. Mm-hmm. He has done that.
Yes.
And I didn't realize he didn't know it was in the East.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but New York generally takes over Philly's building when they have court games, so he's asking for his fans not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Who's next?
That's reasonable. Tom. That's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah,
Don't sell your tickets.
Absolutely. Yes, I'd have to leave. Tom, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that fat people do not go to the waterway in the Woodlands.
Should not go. Is that what he said?
No, do not go. I think he said do not go.
That's what I thought he did say, too, but that doesn't make any sense.
Well, unless it's all beautiful people there. Yeah.
Well, maybe the Woodlands is a slim, trim area of Houston.
Maybe.
It could
Although they're getting more restaurants there now.
I know,
It'll plump it up in time. But right now, maybe, the beautiful people all go to the waterway in the Woodlands. That's nice. I've been there before. It's a really nice area. Really. It's great, actually. Yeah. And Houston Powder Coating does all the poles. They powder coat the poles.
Do they have a sign out there that says no?
Porky, hog, no, fat ass, double
I don't
double
know
wide,
if they have a
ball.
Sign that they...
Like, know. You know when you enter a new city, there's a sign, welcome to the Woodlands,
right.
And then it goes underneath, except for fat people.
I don't know.
Say that. I know some fat people in the Woodlands.
But do they live there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They probably don't go to the waterway, though.
Got it.
Brandon, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Morning, guys. I learned that Malik Willis has accuracy issues that extend to points beyond the football field.
I think he did that on purpose.
No, he didn't. He said he claims he slipped on the mound. No one would want to embarrass himself for the first time.
That was at least he threw it hard and it high. And
I would rather he do that than go sideways or short hop.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
if he threw it like a
and he looked like he knew how to throw, like the way he came off the mound to pitch. Like I thought, okay, he knows how to throw, and then he. Then he nucleolooshed it. That was like a throw from Bull Durham. Yeah. It was crazy.
So a member of Pat McAfee's staff, I think Darius Butler, maybe he's a Miami fan, but he quote tweeted that image of Malik Willis with, he'll be all right. It was a video of Patrick Mahomes doing the same thing. And Mahomes like, hey, I thought we watched the internet that video.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
No, it's still there, Patty.
Yeah, it's out there.
Phil is next. 713-780-3776. Phil, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Good morning, gentlemen. I learned that Sherry DeVoe is the first woman trainer to win the Derby.
Yeah. I didn't know a woman had never won before.
She's getting hyped on that video. Yeah. It's the same way that everyone acts when you got money on something or that, you know, as somebody, they're going down the stretch. What a comeback.
Right.
What a comfort behind
that
perfect
was what I
timing.
Said was the greatest performance. When have we seen last the first in that amount of time?
That was on the stretch. That was on the back stretch. That was incredible.
Right, right.
What happened to the down the stretch they come guy?
Like, I don't know.
Tom Durkin?
That would have been.
What? Yeah, where's that guy?
That was the call.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear the call.
Down the stretch. Oh,
and down the stretch they come. That's right. Tom Durkin, ladies
and
gentlemen.
He is awesome. But he didn't do it. It wasn't Tom Durkin. It's not Tom Durkin anymore.
Did he have something problematic? Did he do something problematic?
No, he just got old. Down the stretch they come.
I know.
You got old. It's like,
Vince Scully went forever.
Let's get ready
Tom's
to rumble.
Retired.
You can't have a fight without that.
Oh,
yeah.
Tom is older. Now that I see a picture of him.
75.
He's 75.
And see, Tom Durkin can still go.
He retired, though. So
he's a semi-retired American sportscaster.
Well, apparently NBC. Well, okay.
Well, he could do one event a year.
He got kicked out of
the only one that anybody watches.
It's true. Now we'll watch the next one because we'll see. We'll see if we got a Triple Crown winner.
That was one of the great sports performances ever was what Golden Tempo did.
Yeah.
Peter, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Peter,
Good morning,
there?
Guys.
Hey.
I'm here. I learned that hearing about your ex-wife's boyfriend working on your son's car that you bought is a very frustrating and anxiety-inducing experience.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah. That's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Ex.
You never want to.
So the ex-wife's boyfriend's working on your son's car that you bought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than you having to pay for it to go.
No, it's better than you having to do it.
Yeah.
You know? What type of work is being done? Like an oil change? What are you talking about?
I don't
know.
Maybe he had to fix it.
I would say, hey,
carburetor or replace the carburetor.
A carburetor? How old is the car?
Who knows?
Hey, buy a new car, Peter.
No. What? And well, that'll solve that. That'll solve that.
Get that guy away
from
the car.
Buy him a new car every time something happens.
Every time you think the ex-wife's boyfriend is going to work on your car.
We solved that for you, Peter.
Buy another car.
We solved it. And see, one sentence, and we solved it for you.
Did we solve it, though?
If he's trying to relieve anxiety, just buy another car.
Okay. That's the last one. Dave, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that it now takes $74 to fill up my sedan.
Ooh, a sedan.
My son's is like $125 to fill up his truck.
Ooh.
And I learned that every time I come to town, my son is on empty.
He waits for, you know, it's like he prepaid it. It's like he prepaid the, it's like he prepaid the,
well, he's all, wait. He
the rental
waits.
Car. You just turn it in with nothing.
He waits. Oh, dad's coming.
What's the rule here? I mean, I know at some point you're too old to be on your dad's insurance. How old are you? When do you get too old for your dad to pay for your gas?
No, dad's always, they're never too old.
Oh, there's a,
there's not a cutoff at
there's
some
a
point.
Cutoff.
Like $120 should be the cutoff.
Yeah, there's a cutoff.
You're always paying for your kids. Always.
No.
Every dinner, everything.
There's a cutoff.
You always pay your
I don't pay Drake's gas. You can get your own gas, son.
No, well, if I'm that's not like it. I come to town.
I took Alec to dinner. Yeah.
I'll fill it up. He fills up his own car, but when I'm in town, I fill it up. That's all. And you know what? It seems it's empty every single time.
Then you might want to say, hey, every once in a while, maybe I don't fill it up and you've got stuff in it.
I said, yeah. Well, you wait for me, don't you?
See?
You wait for me.
I drove my dad to the airport very early on Saturday morning. Very, very early. Nothing like getting up at 3:15 on a Saturday morning to drive your dad to the airport.
What?
3:15.
Yeah,
3:15.
It was only at Hobby, but he has a 6 a.m. flight. You want to get there on time. So I'm up by 3:15. It's tough. He handed me a 50.
For your,
but not just for the gas. He just, hey, I got some change here. Take
it. That's nice of your dad to do.
Yeah, he's going.
It's kind of like you're an Uber driver now.
Sure.
I always.
He treated you like a driver. Did you have some water in the back for him and maybe some mints or candy?
I did not have that, so maybe I don't get the 5-star.
Okay. Did he put on there no conversation? Where you say, what kind of conversation would you like?
That's
no
what
conversation.
Kind of music?
Yeah, what kind of music did you play for him?
We had a podcast on.
You had a podcast on?
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Just so we did to fill the silence because no one was going to talk at 3:15 in the morning.
Probably not at 3:15 in the afternoon either.
Well, that's true, but particularly that early in the morning
early,
on a Saturday.
Talking. All right, you guys are great. What did you learn this weekend? Brought to you by no one.
No one.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point it was brought
to you. Yeah, we should probably do that. Yeah, what did you learn this weekend? Brought to you by...
It's a very popular segment, we're just saying.
Well, today it's brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters.
There it is.
Saw Robin over at... We had a party last week and saw her over there, and she said it is incredible. You know why it's incredible? Because we are having AI companies coming here, and do you know what they have to do for an AI to put in those computers? They have to be, like, there can't even be dust on the frames. It has to be perfect for these AI computers that are coming in here. And guess who they went to? They went to Houston Powder Coaters. Mm. And they said, you guys got to powder coat these things, and they got to be great, and they got to be dust-free, and they got to be spectacular. And you know who's doing it? Houston Powder Coaters, because they're the biggest and they're the best. And in the city of Houston, this is who you want. And you still, how about this? You still get free pickup and delivery from Houston Powder Coaters. So you may not be an AI company. You may be just a regular person that has some patio furniture that sucks, or a car part or a boat part that just sucks. Well, Houston Powder Coaters is going to be here for you, too. They're here for everybody, and the job will be perfect. AI didn't have to tell them the job has to be perfect. They already knew that. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. You're looking for perfection in your powder coating? There's one place to go. If your stuff is looking all shungad, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.